Well, may we hear your voice and know your presence among us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The coronavirus has disrupted everything from school and work to birthday parties with the grandkids. Even our Holy Week celebrations were unsettled. Nothing in our life feels normal as all our regular rhythms and routines have just been overturned. We wonder, when is life going to return to normal? But what if normal is not the way things are meant to be? For the disciples and the world in which they lived, it was normal for people to be hauled away in the middle of the night. It was normal for legal processes to be cut short for the sake of expediency. It was normal for leaders to be executed on fake charges of blasphemy. What was not normal was Jesus' resurrection. When Jesus came and stood among his students, everything that they assumed to be normal shifted. They went to a space that was beyond normal. So this morning I'd like us to explore a portion of John's account of Jesus' resurrection by looking at three things that Jesus said to his students in that upstairs room, three things that were to become their new normal. And I think as we endure this time, they are three things that are worth us considering. John's account has Jesus' students hiding out in fear of the authorities and mob justice. Jesus then appears suddenly to them in their midst. This was no apparition, no memory or ghost. Jesus spoke with them. He showed them his hands and his side. And in this most spiritual of gospels, it's remarkable how the resurrected Christ uses his wounds as proof of life. What follows then is a fine example of understatement as the disciples rejoiced in seeing the Lord. Can you imagine the rush, the thrill that they must have experienced in seeing Jesus for themselves, restored, renewed, resurrected? Jesus had three things to say to his disciples. No doubt that evening many things were said and shared, but John focuses our attention on three things that we need to remember. The first thing was this: peace be with you. At one level, this sounds so much like a simple greeting, the equivalent of saying, hey, or good evening, everyone. But these words mean so much more. While we can dismiss our emotions as silly or our reactions as inappropriate, it's reassuring to see how Jesus acknowledges how the disciples were feeling. They are in the middle of emotional turmoil, a sea of disappointment, a time of tremendous upheaval and unsettledness. And into this space, Jesus steps to bring what the disciples needed most: peace. When we think of peace, we often understand it to mean the absence of war or strife, the kind of thing that happens when the guns fall silent and the conflict comes to an end. The peace that Jesus brings is different. Jesus brings stillness in the middle of upheaval. It's a calmness born of his presence and his relationship with us. Peace comes when Jesus stands with us. In the middle, when everything seems shut down, when it's normal to feel upset and lonely, I think these words of Jesus are so important. Peace be with you. God's presence brings the kind of calm and quiet that our troubled hearts and minds yearn for, the kind of peace that goes beyond normal. And it's the foundation for everything that follows. The second thing that Jesus says can only be fathomed from a place of peace and security. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you. This is no instruction or command. It's an invitation to join Jesus in his mission, to find our purpose in his purpose. For just as the Father sent Jesus to bring the work of redemption to fulfillment, so we are to continue this project until its completion. This work is grounded in God's love, and it reflects God's very character, God's very essence. For while it is normal for us to feel afraid and anxious, worried about our place in the world, if we act out of that fear and uncertainty instead of God's peace, then the words of Jesus get flipped around. We are meant to have a God-shaped mission in this world. But if we act out of fear, then we end up with a world-shaped mission where God often struggles to fit in. So instead of seeing a world that's desperate for love, we fear it. Instead of creating spaces for others, we end up protecting only ourselves. Instead of being open-hearted, we become small-minded and judgmental. Our standards become the plumb line for all truth and godliness. We end up forcing our own vision of God onto the world. And rather than helping God's work to grow in the world, we become some of the biggest obstacles and liabilities around. What Jesus had in mind was a long way beyond normal. Just as Jesus brought joy into the world when he turned water into wine, so we should be a people who bring gladness and happiness to whatever we do. Just as Jesus stepped across social divides to welcome the Samaritan woman at the well, so we should be bold enough to bring out the best in others. Just as Jesus healed the lame and the blind, so we should endeavor to bring wholeness and healing by treating people with respect and enabling them to be all that they were created to be. Just as Jesus refused to pick up stones to condemn others, so we should refrain from acting out of our own self-righteousness. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you. Of words grounded in God's love and God's peace. So if the first words of Jesus set the emotional temperature for the disciples to dwell in his peace, and the second words give them direction, Jesus' last words tell them how and what they were to do as they continue his work in the world. Receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, as he breathed upon them. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you don't forgive them, they are retained. Continuing the mission of Jesus is not something we can do in our own strength or out of our own power or cleverness. It can only ever be done with the living presence of God working within us all. This presence can't be forced or manipulated. It can only ever be received. Received by hearts that are open to God's presence and willing to ask that the advocate, the supporter, and the helper will be with us. So, with the Holy Spirit, what were the disciples to do exactly? What Jesus describes is a work that's about release and constraint, about forgiveness and binding. It's normal to get these things back to front. And when we do, Christianity that emerges emphasizes judgment and condemnation first. When we get them back to front, people carry burdens of shame and guilt with them. They carry these things until others are satisfied that they've paid enough restitution through their own blood, sweat, and tears. It's wearying and it burns people out. Jesus goes way beyond normal to emphasize that forgiveness comes first. Forgiveness is so important because when love is put into action, it does not hold wrongs over people, but rather it gives everyone the opportunity to find the pathway towards release and freedom. Only forgiveness has the power to undo the effects of sin, sin that breaks relationships, distorts our identity, and twists how we see others. All those who hear and engage with this message of forgiveness will find themselves either embracing it or rejecting it. It begins with forgiveness because if forgiveness is rebuffed, then what else remains? But if forgiveness is offered first, then it is prepared to distinguish between stupidity and evil. Forgiveness deals gently with our own stupidity, but it constrains evil firmly without fear or retribution. Jesus' words that night took the disciples way beyond normal. These words should challenge our sense of normal, particularly the way in which things are expected to return when this health emergency is over. I think these words of Jesus encourage us to be a people who are shaped by peace and not by fear. We should be a people who share in Jesus' work of redemption by offering forgiveness while constraining evil. My prayer is that we too, as his students and disciples, might go way beyond normal when this health emergency is over. Amen.